So, picture this. You're driving down a steep mountain pass with a heavy trailer. You step on the brakes, and suddenly your steering wheel is just violently shaking in your
Oh,
hand.
yeah, the classic shake.
Right. And you take it to the shop, and the mechanic tells you, well, your brake rotors are warped. But today, we're going to explain why that mechanic is actually wrong.
Completely wrong, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're tearing down the mechanics and the economics of one-piece versus two-piece brake rotors.
Right.
We're basically figuring out if dropping big money on a brake upgrade is a smart performance move or just a really expensive mistake.
Yeah, it's all about navigating that intersection between extreme vehicle physics and, well, your wallet.
Exactly. So what does this all mean? Let's start with the literal heavy lifting here.
Okay, so if you look at a standard truck rotor, you're dealing with a massive chunk of cast iron. The friction ring and the center hat they're molded together as just one continuous piece. And that weighs in at like 22 to 26 pounds per wheel.
That is heavy.
It is. But that mass is designed to absorb heat. I mean, during a hard stop, temps can easily hit 400 to 600 degrees Fahrenheit.
Jeez.
And on a long towing descent, like you just mentioned, they can climb well past 700 degrees.
Okay, so that intense heat has to create a pretty serious physics problem,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Because it reminds me of, throwing a cheap metal baking sheet into a ripping hot oven.
Yes.
Like it pops and it twists.
Right, exactly.
So on a car, the rotor tries to warp like that baking sheet as the hot outer ring expands against the much cooler center hat. But because it's a single solid piece bolted down to the hub, it can't actually bend like a taco.
No, it can't. And that thermal constraint is actually what causes the whole warped rotor myth. Yeah, it isn't actually bent. That thermal fight causes the metal to wear unevenly against the brake pads over time.
Ah, see.
So it creates this thickness variation on the rotor face. So when your steering wheel shakes, you're really just feeling the brake pads hitting those microscopic high and low spots.
Not a bent disc.
Right, not a bent disc.
Wow. Okay, well, here's where it gets really interesting to me. To stop the rotor from fighting its own thermal expansion, engineers just they sliced the problem in half.
Literally, yeah.
They kept the outer friction ring as cast iron to handle the abuse, but they swapped the center hat out for aluminum, and then they attached the two, so you save weight, and that physical gap between the two pieces, it drastically slows down the heat transfer into the sensitive wheel hub bearing.
Right, that modular approach, it fundamentally changes how the rotor handles stress.
Okay.
But it introduces a new dynamic depending on how those two pieces are connected.
Right.
Because if it's a fixed two-piece rotor, they're bolted tightly together.
Gotcha.
So you get the weight savings, but you don't fully solve the thermal expansion issue.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second because
Well.
looking at the numbers, a two-piece kit can run you like $750 to $10,000 per axle.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
No. And if you go for the floating two-piece design, the sources say they notoriously rattle, click, and ping at low speeds.
They do, yeah.
So I have to ask, why would anyone pay $2,000 for brakes that sound like they're just falling apart in a drive-through?
It's funny you say that, but the noise is actually a critical mechanical feature.
Really?
Yeah, so a floating rotor connects the iron ring to the aluminum hat using hardware called bobbins.
Okay, bobbins.
Right, think of bobbins as little metal sleeves or like sliding pins.
Oh, I see.
They give the iron ring a tiny physical track to slide outward independently from the hat as it swells from the heat.
Oh, wow.
So that clicking sound you hear at low speeds is literally just the iron ring having the room to breathe.
That is wild.
Yeah, it's vital for surviving the repeated intense heat cycles of a track day without cracking or, suffering that thickness variation we talked about.
Okay, so we're basically paying for controlled expansion.
Exactly.
But there's another side to this beyond just thermal physics, right? Like rotating
Oh,
mass.
yeah, the unsprung weight.
Right. Shaving weight by using an aluminum hat drops your unsprung weight.
It does. And losing a pound of unsprung rotating weight at the wheel has this compounding effect on vehicle dynamics.
How so?
Well, because this mass is outside your suspension system and it's actively spinning, your suspension can react much faster to keep the tire planted over bumps.
Oh, okay.
Furthermore, because of rotational inertia, your engine doesn't have to work as hard to spin the wheel up.
Right.
And your brakes don't work as hard to stop it. It drastically improves both acceleration and handling.
That makes a lot of sense. But let's look at the wallet for a second.
Always a good idea.
Yeah. A standard one-piece replacement rotor is only like $100 to $300.
Right.
It seems like the math heavily favors staying stock for most drivers.
Oh, without a doubt. Unless you were routinely hauling a heavy trailer down steep mountain grades or, you know, hot lapping a high power build at the track, the one-piece rotor is the logical choice. Yeah. I mean, a daily commute or even just occasional spirited driving will never generate the sustained temperatures that justify a $2,000 floating setup.
That makes total sense.
You are much better off spending the savings on high-quality brake pads and fresh brake fluid.
Oh, yeah.
That combination provides a far more noticeable improvement to your daily stopping power anyway.
Okay, so basically two-piece rotors are a precision tool for a specific high heat problem.
Exactly.
Not a daily driving necessity. They just keep the brakes from eating themselves alive under extreme stress.
That's the perfect way to put it.
But you know, before we wrap up this deep dive, consider this.
Okay.
We know the two-piece design allows drivers to reuse the aluminum hat and only replace the worn-out iron friction ring, right?
Right, the modular part of it.
Yeah. So could this modular approach eventually become the standard for all commuter cars?
Hmm.
Not to shave lap times, but to drastically reduce the sheer volume of heavy metal waste we throw into scrap yards during millions of routine brake jobs every year.
Wow, that is a fascinating point.
Yeah, definitely something to think about.